The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Happy to have you with us on NFL Live today, sending lots of love to veterans and their families. Thank you for your service and your sacrifice. Dan Orlovsky is here, and of course, Ryan Clark and Marcus Spears, Adam Schefter as well. We begin with Adam. Some news on Christian McCaffrey to get to right off the top. What do you got?
Laura, he's not expected to play this week due to a shoulder injury that he suffered at the end of the game last week against the Washington football team. He was getting a second opinion today. He's considered week to week, but if he's not going to play this week, he's week to week and he's getting a second opinion. That sounds like it's a little worrisome, and it could be more than just a 1 week injury. As for Ben Roethlisberger, he remains on the reserve COVID list at this point in time. He'll have to pass through 5 days of testing before he can be activated and eligible to come off that list and play Sunday. Right now, the Steelers are preparing without him. He's going through virtual meetings. We'll see whether or not he comes off that list in time. As for Baker Mayfield, the Browns officially activated him off reserve COVID. Baker had spent some time around an individual within the organization who had the virus. The Browns were taking steps out of precaution, putting him on the list, but he's tested negative continuously. He's come off the list, and he is on track to play right now against this upcoming Sunday against the Browns opponent. As for the Ravens, they returned to practice today. Marlon Humphrey was activated off the reserve COVID list. It looks like he's on track to play as well.
All right, Adam Schefter with us all show long. Thank you for all of that. Hey, week 10 features a Dolphins-Chargers matchup that has us all intrigued. Two young QBs have taken the league by storm. And, yeah, I'm talking about Tua and Herbert. Tua completed 76% of his passes against the four-man rush this season, tied for first with Russell Wilson. And Justin Herbert enters the matchup with some serious momentum as he can become the first rookie with six straight multiple touchdown games in NFL history. But our football power index has the surging Dolphins in this one by 5 points, giving them a 65% chance to win. Both QBs spoke to the media today.
He makes big-time plays in big-time situations, and he's a smart, athletic guy that throws the ball all over the field, so he's been really fun to watch.
I have no animosity towards Justin Herbert, and for me, it's not even a competition between me and him. It's a competition for myself to go out and, you know, see what I can do to help our team be successful against their defense. A year ago, I mean, who would have known? I could have had a season-ending injury, but, you know, the Miami Dolphins decided to take a chance on me. So that was awesome.
Yeah, of course, Monday is the anniversary of Tua Tagovailoa's hip injury that happened a year ago. And certainly for those close to that story, he wasn't even sure if he would be able to walk again at first. So what he's done over this year's time is remarkable. Dan, I want to start with you on both of these quarterbacks. What can you say about just how good Justin Herbert's been through his first seven starts of his NFL career?
Yeah, Laura, I'd say there's two kind of quarterbacks that come into the NFL. There's one that the guy's really smart. He's mentally there, but physically he's got limitations. And then it's the flip side. Like, there's these guys that come into the NFL and they're physically super talented, but the mental aspect of it isn't there. Well, Herbert's got both of them. It's rare to get a young player at that position that goes, okay, he's super smart and super bright, but then he's also this physical kind of freak of a talent. And I think the brain is allowing the physical talent to kind of show up week in and week out. And he's become an absolute bona fide rock star at the quarterback spot.
And Dan, you're exactly right. That's exactly what the team thinks of him right now. He's got the mental aptitude to grasp it all. He's got the ability to throw long, throw short with accuracy, run around, be an athlete, be tough. There's nothing that he's missing from that group. And when you speak to the people within the Chargers organization, especially the players, the one thing they say amongst themselves is that they believe they are watching the start of something special, a quarterback who's going to have an illustrious career. And it almost feels like when you start to watch Patrick Mahomes early in his career. It's not all that different watching Justin Herbert right now. And if you're the Chargers with Herbert for the long term, or Chiefs with Patrick Mahomes for the long term, it's great news for those franchises. Bad news for the Denver Broncos and the Las Vegas Raiders having to go up against those two quarterbacks for the next decade plus.
Yeah, my goodness. I mean, Ryan Clark, you hear Patrick Mahomes in the same sentence as Justin Herbert. What does that make you think about what you've seen from Herbert so far?
So, well, you know, I wish my audio was working so I could have spoke before Adam, because he took all my thunder, because that was my exact point. You know, when you look at Justin Herbert and you think about some of the young quarterbacks that have come into the league and many have played well, I don't know any that I've watched physically and been more impressed with than I am with Justin Herbert. From his first game, he showed you the athleticism, being able to get inside, outside of the pocket. You can use him in quarterback design runs, and he's shown a strong arm consistently and constantly in each and every game. We've seen big plays over the top. And so when you think about this kid from a measurable standpoint, just looking at it, if you're watching film during the week and you're a DB, you are frightened, because you know you have to attack him and be ready on all three levels of defense, which is very difficult and something you don't actually deal with every week from every quarterback.
Yeah, Marcus, let's not get crazy, though, here, because he does have to go up against this Dolphins defense, which has been excellent in recent weeks. How tough will that matchup be for Herbert?
Yeah, it's difficult. Look, Flores and the Miami Dolphins are doing a tremendous job getting after quarterbacks, let alone manning up on the back end and forcing quarterbacks into bad throws. Justin Herbert to see probably one of the most detailed oriented defensive schemes he's seen all season long. And if he thrives against this, Els, this is a wonderful, wonderful look for what they can continue to be and what Justin Herbert can continue to be. I'm excited about this matchup because of that. Yes, I'm excited about Justin Herbert. I'm excited about seeing Tua play. But against this Brian Flores-led defense and what they've been able to accomplish the last couple weeks we've seen them out, this is going to be a tall task for Justin Herbert, and I'm seeing if he's up for it.
Yeah, it's a good point, Marcus. I wanted to kind of put a bow on Herbert for the day. Like, I think two things that stand out even more so are, one, there were so many questions about kind of the personality. Was he going to have the leadership qualities to become that guy in the NFL? That question has been answered. If you watch just the tape and how he's interacting with his teammates, and then also how he went back to school, I actually think paid huge dividends because it allowed his the foundation of him, the fundamentals of the position, have become so strong that we've all touched on this. Like, the physical talent is so unique. When you have the smarts and the fundamentals, and then the physical talent, you have the ability to be the best player at the position in the whole NFL.
Yeah, the Chargers' record is misleading, too. They're 2-6, but each of those losses ended in a one-score game, so it could be tight on Sunday. One of the most memorable and positive Texans moments in recent history, that's a prize for Deshaun Watson. It was orchestrated by one person. That person was let go by the team. It has many people extremely upset. Adam Schefter, tell us more.
Well, that's exactly it, Laura. You have a situation today where the Texans fired one of the most respected members of an NFL team. Amy Palasek let her go and told her that she was, quote unquote, not a cultural fit, which is a hard thing to imagine. You see the work that she's done through the year. She won the Rozelle Award for the best PR staff. She put together that situation for Deshaun Watson. She's aided J.J. Watt with his hurricane relief efforts time and time again. She's been an asset and a friend to everybody in that organization. J.J. Watt, a short time ago, tweeted about how much Amy Palasek has meant to him, to his teammates. You take a look at the tweet right there on the board, him describing what he says. And if I can read it from afar, I think it's his first and only woman to be head of PR for an NFL team, winner of the Pete Rozelle Award for best PR staff in the NFL, massive help in my hurricane relief efforts, community events, and much more. Whoever picks up Amy Palasek will be getting one of the absolute best in the business. And I can tell you that it was a strange decision that elicited a lot of reaction. It comes in the middle of the season, and I can tell you that the Texans players themselves have to be very upset with this decision and wondering what their organization is doing today.
Yeah, to your point, Adam, Amy has blazed such a trail, and she will certainly find a landing spot. I'll be very lucky to have her. Thanks for that information. Let's carry on here with Baker Mayfield. And as Adam reported earlier, back in action after a week off and off the reserve COVID-19 list, coming in contact, of course, with a staff member who tested positive, but he never tested positive himself. He participated remotely, was back at practice today ahead of the Texans matchup. Kevin Stefanski looking for the next step out of his QB.
Baker would tell you, there's moments where he was really good and moments that he wants to get better. And I think that's just a great focus for our guys moving forward. We can help him. I know that. We can help him for sure in some of the design, some of the play calls. But I think he's ready to ascend.
Okay, Marcus, are the Browns, quote, ready to ascend here in the second half of the season?
I hope so. I mean, I hope they're not like me. I was ready to ascend before this damn show started until I started horse playing with my son and he almost made me bite the bottom half of my lip off.
He's hurt.
But now that we're getting into some football, yes, they should. And Cleveland has a really good road to making the playoffs and potentially having a lot of success. Baker Mayfield has benefited from Kevin Stefanski. Stefanski has acknowledged what he has the ability to do, and we see it here. Like, you pick up the Texans, the Eagles, the Jags, all very winnable games. You get to the Titans and the Ravens. That'll be points where you have to prove that you belong with the big boys. And then Giants, Jets, and at the end of the year, the Steelers, another opportunity to continue to build on what they have. This could be a 10-win team, but the ones that matter, and I've talked about this all season long, in their division when they play the Ravens, how will they perform when they play the Titans? How will they perform when Baker Mayfield has to be the centerpiece and perform at a very high level? I can't wait to see that. This team is a playoff team if they can get their quarterback and continue to stay on the same trend that they're on.
All right, Adam, so you got to put Marcus Spears on the injury report at this point with a mouth injury. That's what we're going to call it.
Oral.
Oral injury. Okay, not just Baker returning this week. Adam, what do we know about Nick Chubb's status for the Browns?
Well, Nick Chubb's knee is as important to him as Marcus Spears' mouth is to him. So let me give you the update on Nick Chubb here. He was back at practice today. He was going through with a knee brace on, but he looked pretty good. And right now it looks like he's tracking to play. So we got Marcus on the show today. His mouth is working right now. And Nick Chubb's knee seems to be improving and showing enough progress that he's going to be out there on Sunday, it looks like right now, against the Houston Texans, which will be a big boost for Cleveland's offense and a big boost for NFL Live this afternoon, having Marcus back.
Oh, you got to play hurt, man.
Well, listen,
you got to play hurt
Marcus
sometimes.
Up.
I'm playing hurt.
Hey. Go, Ryan.
Hey, listen, we tape Marcus up, and we're going to try to get Nick Chubb back and get him taped up again. I love the way that Kevin Stefanski is kind of stacked this, though. You heard the rest of the schedule. They're supposed to win those games. They were starting to play well before this time, but this is really about Baker Mayfield. This is about, does Baker Mayfield show up and show you that he's the guy that can run this team, that he's the leader that he's always thought himself to be? There's no Odell Beckham Jr., so that excuse is gone. Kevin Stefanski has put it on himself that they're going to call better plays. So now it's time for Baker to be the dude that wasn't making commercial. Baker Mayfield, not on Baker Mayfield's body, and show us that he is the dude we thought he was year one. The dude we thought would be coming into the season as Freddie Kitchens as his coach. So I'm excited to see how they play down the stretch, and Marcus is right. They will be judged for the Ravens, for the Titans, for the Steelers. It won't be about beating teams that you're supposed to beat, because that's a place the Cleveland Browns are supposed to be in. What do you do against the big dogs when it's the big time football to be played? And I'm excited to see that.
I hear y'all. Listen, I know Nick Chubb coming back is big news, but it's not the biggest news. Wyatt Teller coming back is the biggest news, because he was as good as any guard in football. But when you go into the fight without Wyatt Teller, it's like, you know, you go to a fight, you don't got all your people
Martin
with you,
the
and you're
real
like,
part of BR.
You know what? I don't feel good about this. Now you got Wyatt Teller in the fight, and you're like, all right, we can go throw some hands. Marcus, you don't know nothing about that.
Dan's out here throwing flames today.
Guys,
Marcus?
Guys, excuse me. Guys. No one that drinks coffee the color that Dan drinks coffee has ever been in a real fight.
Marcus drinks the same color.
No one that doesn't use seasoning has ever been in a real fight. Dan Kralowski, I am 100% certain, has never thrown real hands. He's the most peaceful Bible-reading person I know.
Dan, you throw hands.
About to fight Dan. Dan break the Bible out. Dan be like, brothers, if you look right here, it says, thou shalt not raise his hand and shall turn the other cheek. Now let's go eat some dry chicken with some asparagus. You know, Dan,
asparagus.
Nobody.
I got two fights in my life, Darcy. I got in a fight my freshman year of high school because I wanted to be a quarterback. And then I got a fight at Assumption College. And someone said something to my buddy the wrong way. Now I was like, yo, nice throw.
Guys.
But I didn't throw, I stayed in the back.
If you can't count your fights. We're going to stop
using this show for street cred.
If you can count your fights.
Yeah.
You have not been enough of them.
Listen, the only person that has real street cred on this show is Adam Schefter, and I'm going to leave it right there as we head on to the rest of NFL Live.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
The NFL, of course, has seen its share of veterans on the field over the years. Names like Alejandro Villanueva, Pat Tillman, Roger Staubach, Rocky Blyer, Chuck Bednarik, just to name a couple. We thank them and all the veterans for their service today. Let's get to Lamar Jackson, who appeared on the Rich Eisen show today, had some interesting thoughts on just why he thinks this Ravens offense hasn't always performed up to their standards this year. Let's hear what Lamar had to say.
You know, it's a lot of with schemes. You know, we're going against defenses. They calling out our plays, stuff like that. Like, they know what we're doing. So a lot of that, you know, sometimes, you know, stuff won't go our way if they beat us to the punch.
So you're hearing on the other side of the line of scrimmage the defense calling out your plays?
That's what they definitely do. Like, runs, stuff like that. Watch out for this, watch out for that. Sometimes that's what's going on. So.
All right, so I realized throughout a season, especially up until this point, wipe that mouth off. Anyway, that people are going to know some of what you might expect from an opposing offense, right? Because they're watching the film. Dan, I'm going to start with you. That means Ryan has to keep that towel on his face for the entire time that you talk. Is this a real concern for the Ravens, what Lamar is saying, that the defense is calling out their plays?
Well, of course it is. I mean, we've been talking about it on this show. You know, like, the Ravens offense has a lot of tendencies to it. First of all, where do they like to throw the football the most? To the middle of the field. We've highlighted that. Who do they like to throw to the most? The tight ends, Mark Andrews and Hollywood Brown. Really, they're the only two guys that they'll throw it to. If you look at this offense, they're super predictable on first down. I mean, they call runs like, I don't know, 65% of the time on first down. And they're only averaging about 3.5 yards a carry on first down. They're really good on running at second or third down. But when you have these tendencies that become predictable on offense, that's an issue in the NFL. I'd say there's three things you don't want to be in the NFL as an offense. Stagnant. You have to be moving before the snap. Particular. You can't be, and that's what he's talking about with, you have to be multiple, right? You have to be multiple in your formations and your tendencies. And the last thing is predictable. You know, if you watch great coordinators, Sean McVay, Sean Payton, guys that we go, Arthur Smith, that are great play callers, they're unpredictable. You don't know what's coming. And the Ravens don't have that on offense right now, and they haven't all year.
I'm going to tell you what, man. This day, I am glad I got to be on NFL Live. Get up, Dan Orlovsky, and NFL Live, Dan Orlovsky, they are two different people. That Dan Orlovsky, no, he won't say nothing bad about a quarterback. Listen, Marvin Lewis coaches at Arizona State now, and so I saw him, and he always asked me. He was like, hey, man, every time we pass the ball, you were always in the deep middle where you were supposed to be. He's like, but we'll give you the same type of formation, and you'd be standing right at the line of scrimmage when we handed the ball off. I'd be like, yeah, because I studied film film all week. I understood the tips and tendencies, and I knew who would let me know what. That's right. Football. And if somebody's saying alert run, it's because I have a formation where it's an 80% tendency that you're going to run the ball. It don't mean that you are, but here's a problem. If you get nervous because I say it, then that's on you. Because if you study football enough, and especially if you're a good team, right? Like, you know what I knew? I knew when I was little and I watched Mike Tyson fight, he was going to go low here, he was going to go right, left, and he was going to come up with the hook. I knew that. The person he was fighting knew that, but they couldn't stop it, because that's what happens when teams are really good. You get predictable. What happens is, though, you can't start to use that as a crutch, right? Last week, John Harbaugh comes out and he says, I told Lamar he's going to have to use different things like his mind, his arm, and do all this stuff, and now Lamar is saying we're predictable. They got to stop doing this, pointing fingers, and sure. Just start playing football. Mm. We didn't hear this last year.
It's so much I could say right now, because I've been trying to tell y'all this before the damn season started. Evolution. Figure out ways to be creative. Incentivize your quarterback. Incentivize your receivers. Find things you can do to keep people off schedule. Look at Kansas City. Look at Kansas City. We know Kansas City can go line up, they can run the same plays, and people can know what's coming. But every damn week on this show, Dan Orlovsky shows me something that Andy Reid is doing or Eric Bieniemy has been doing that other teams hadn't seen. That's a part of the league, too. RC, I get what you're saying. We, all three of us, we sit on here, we study football when we play, we study it now, we look at film, we see tendencies now. But the bottom line is this. You do know what the Ravens are doing. Like, you and I and Dan could put together a defensive game plan. Now, to your point, can you stop it? That's a whole different animal. That's big fellas moving other guys and running backs making dudes miss and Lamar being a super athlete. But this offense is vanilla. It's no creativity. And every team they play is going to know what's coming. And I've been telling y'all that they need to evolve in their offensive plans.
Yeah, and you guys also said on this show they needed to pick up another weapon. Go ahead real fast.
Here's the thing, RC, that I would dispute with you. Yeah, you might know it's going to be a run, but when you know it's going to be a run, following the tight ends to the outside in a zone read set, like, that's really simplified. And that's my thing with Baltimore right now is they've got a ton of predictability in their offense. And you might know it's pass, but if you know it's going to be pass in between the hashes to Mark Andrews, of course you're going to be able to play that better. And that's what Lamar's talking about right now. They're too predictable with what they do, and they're too predictable with who they're doing it with.
I just think it's interesting that Lamar said it publicly, too.
Predictable.
You can't come.
Triangle offense was predictable.
You can't say
we
that.
Got six
greatest of all time.
All right.
I knew what the triangle offense was going to do.
Here's one thing.
Sorry, Laura.
Mark Ingram, don't be sorry. You can do whatever you want. Mark Ingram was back at practice today, though, which is a good thing for them. And we talked to him earlier this week. He said he really does feel like he's coming back from that ankle injury. New on NFL Live, Adam Schefter's got some news. What do you got?
Well, moments ago, Laura, the Cincinnati Bengals claimed former first-round draft pick Tack McKinley off waivers from the Atlanta Falcons. And right before the trade deadline, the Bengals made a move dealing Carlos Dunlap to the Seattle Seahawks. And now they help fill that spot by claiming Tack McKinley off waivers from the Falcons. They're hoping that he can come in and provide some pass-rushing help. Former first-round draft pick did not live up to the billing in Atlanta. We'll get another opportunity to do so in Cincinnati.
Toot toot. That's necessary for the Dan Wagon. So who's on it this week?
We've had a bunch of stars, but I'm going to go to a guy who's a little bit younger in the NFL. They call him Scary Terry. Terry McLaurin from the Washington football team. This guy a couple weeks ago got named a captain of their football team. Where's his face? There he is.
There
he is. Got named captain of the football team by Ron Rivera. And all he's done this year, really as the only guy in Washington, is become dominant. He catches the ball crossing the field. I love this play by him because it shows the toughness. It shows his ability to go and score after the catch. How about the ability to go track the deep ball and make some plays? One-on-one downfield, he's outstanding. Laura, he doesn't have a drop this year. I mean, he doesn't
Unreal.
Have a drop this year. He's one of the best in the NFL when it comes to yards after catch. Again, I mentioned, this isn't a team that everyone's going, okay, we got to pay attention to somebody else. And this is a receiver that's had a bunch of different quarterbacks, right? So McLaurin, already year two, you have made the Dan Wagon. You're with a group of stars. Congratulations.
Congrats.
Your career is complete.
Yeah, listen, apparently when you get on the Dan Wagon, things don't play well for you, so it's only going to go up from here for Terry McLaurin. I think we should have the toot toot for the rest of the show. Anyway, all right, so everybody knows about him, but how about some guys that maybe aren't getting enough love? And we should start with Marcus here. Give us a guy that people need to stop sleeping on.
Yeah, listen, let me introduce y'all to Emmanuel Ogba for the Miami Dolphins. We've been talking about how good this defense has been playing recently. He has 7 sacks on the season. He's pressuring quarterbacks, making plays in the backfield. The guy you saw calls the sack fumble against Kyler Murray. He is a beast in this defense, and he's a beast this year. Y'all open up and wake up to Emmanuel Ogba.
I'm about to give some love to Nelson Aguilar, because all my man was known for in Philadelphia was, and my man was dropping them to me, and I caught him. Unlike Aguilar, Nelson Aguilar has been balling. The last 5 games, he has 4 touchdowns, catches a 45 yards, 59 yards, and 44 yards. He had a big touchdown against the Chargers. And right now, Derek Carr is dropping the balls out of the sky, and we are catching them, just like Aguilar. Give my man some love.
Hey, stop sleeping on him. All right, hey, Joe Burrow has what some might call a scary matchup against the Steelers Sunday. It's funny because this guy seems like nothing phases him, right? But apparently, he isn't a fan of being scared. Listen to what Burrow said.
I was scared of everything growing up. I still don't like scary movies. I don't like haunted houses or anything like that. But, you know, I couldn't watch Harry Potter, Lord of the Rings, House. I was like strictly a SpongeBob, Disney Channel, Nickelodeon kind of guy.
Shocker. Dan Orlovsky was just like, oh, man, I really hate scary movies, too, guys.
Oh, we knew Dan would relate to that. We absolutely knew Dan would relate.
But what about Joe Burrow?
I tell you what, Joe Burrow is a scary move. He's a scary movie for a lot of people right now. If you're a defensive coordinator, especially if you're somebody that's trying to get after the quarterback, you know that dude is his own horror film. So if he may not be watching horror flicks, but for years to come, he will be what's scaring a lot of defensive players in this league.
Hey, if I was I would just try to come out behind a corner and go boo and see if I could freak him out before the game. Is that a good tactic? All right, anyway.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, y'all, Dalvin Cook has been ridiculous this season, leading all rushers in average yards after contact, ranking 2nd behind only Alvin Kamara in yards before contact. But what's even crazier is the rate at which he's finding the end zone. He leads the league with 13 touchdowns, and at 1.8 touchdowns per game, he's on pace to finish the season with 27. That would tie Priest Holmes' 2003 season for 3rd most in NFL single season history. So, Marcus, is Dalvin Cook the best running back in the NFL right now?
Yes, and it's not close, and the most valuable to his team's success. There's no other team in this league that needs their running back more than the Minnesota Vikings need Dalvin Cook. Dalvin Cook played against Detroit. He averaged 9 yards a carry. And we can go to the other side of the ball and say how abysmal Detroit was in defending the run. But when you are almost rushing for a first down every time you touch the football, he carried 22 times for 206, 9.4 yards a carry, and two touchdowns or three. Maybe I might be mistaken. Listen, we were talking about the Minnesota Vikings. Ryan had the Vikings being good, and this is not a shot at RC. But this is a big part of why they are going to be able to have success. Reason. We are not focused on Kirk Cousins. We ain't focused on Thielen. Justin Jefferson is balling out of his mind. But Dalvin Cook is the reason why the Minnesota Vikings are ascending. And guess who's bad at defending the run? The Green Bay Packers. Ooh. I can't wait to see what he gonna do and progress Minnesota forward.
I mean, you saw that last time that these two teams played, how Dalvin Cook exploited them. I'm going to be honest, man. The last time I seen a person or player this valuable was Marcus Spears' freshman year when he played intramural basketball.
Oh, God.
That's the type of beast and demon that Dalvin Cook is. He's a guy that gets downhill and a dude that makes plays. But for real, when you think about this team, the fact that Kirk Cousins has thrown the ball 24 times in the last two games, but this team has been able to produce, is all you need to know about Dalvin Cook and his value to the Minnesota Vikings. It starts with him, and then it moves off of him to the outside to the play action game. This dude's the best runner of the football in the NFL.
Yeah, I'm going to give you guys best pure runner in the NFL right now. I mean, it shows up on tape because he's the smartest. He's the smartest when it comes to his vision. Great backs run with their eyes, right? Right now, he's the best pure runner in football. I'm not giving you that he's the best running back in football. That guy plays in New Orleans. His name is Alvin Kamara. Yeah. Right now, he's top 10 when it comes to yards per carry, and he's third in the NFL in catches. It's 2020. He's the best back in football.
Yeah. And, Dan, that's what I was going to say. I think Alvin Kamara might be the most valuable running back right now. Kamara might be the most valuable because if you took him out of the lineup, I don't know if the Saints' offense would be the same, whereas the Vikings had Alexander Mattison, who's a pretty good back. But Dalvin Cook has been the best running back in football this season. And if he continues to run like this and pile up yards like this and score touchdowns like this and get the Vikings back into the playoffs, he's going to move and run himself into the conversation for most valuable player. That's just the way that it has to be. If you set a rookie or you set a rushing record for touchdowns in a season, you deserve consideration for the most valuable player award in the NFL.
Let me say this third.
Listen, wait, Ryan's jumping in real fast. Go ahead, Ryan.
No, I'm saying I agree with Adam. He has to play himself. He's playing himself into that conversation, but I kind of disagree about the value. Yes, Madison can play football, but it was a distinct difference when Dalvin Cook was out of the game. And so for me, moving forward, I'm looking at Dalvin Cook as the number one guy that's propelling his team forward to be that major difference.
Adam, you got a couple more pieces of news for us before we go.
Yeah, a couple of things here, Laura. A short time ago, the Kansas City Chiefs placed wide receiver Mecole Hardman on the reserve COVID-19 list. There have been some instances of this in Kansas City as of late. And a short time ago, 49ers head coach Kyle Shanahan said that Raheem Mostert would not be back this week at running back for the 49ers. So San Francisco shorthanded at that position again, Laura.
All right, time for one more thing before we go. And today, this is the most important thing. Today and every day, ESPN proud to salute our veterans and active duty service members. Thank you, veterans, for your sacrifice that allows all of us to live the lives that we do. We are incredibly fortunate to have you as our colleagues.